Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and today I am here with Eileen Stoll from the Washington State Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Hello, Eileen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hi, Ashley. Nice to be here.
Great. Well, today we're going to be talking about prevention guidelines, and specifically prevention guidelines that you have recently released as part of your coalition. And can you tell me more about those guidelines?
Sure. So here in Washington State, we at the Domestic Violence Coalition are a little bit late to the prevention party. And we've been working on prevention for the last 5 or 6 years or so. And we have never issued something in our state for domestic violence programs to do prevention. There hasn't been any state-funded prevention programming for domestic violence prevention. And so it sort of left this opening for people to interpret how they wanted to do prevention. And this was really an attempt to sort of fill that gap around domestic violence prevention. And also it comes at the same time where the big law that governs how domestic violence programs do their work was just amended. It hadn't been updated in over 30 years, and that just happened in June. And so we felt like this was a great time to come in and say, well, this is what we think. This is what we've learned from watching other folks in the field and sort of take the best things that we saw out there and put it all into one to help our domestic violence programs in our state.
Right. I think a lot of folks are, like you said, trying to figure out, you know, how do we want to do this? If we have standards, what are they, or what are guidelines that we might have? And so how did you come to this? It sounds like internally you were having some discussions. Was there more to the process?
Yeah, so the process really began with our State Department of Social and Health Services, who has also expressed an interest in domestic violence programs doing prevention, but without any funding. And so we really had a conversation with their program manager there and just thinking about, you know, all of our other work around the field and that they've had this answer in the sexual assault field for a long time of what prevention looks like, but haven't had the answer on the domestic violence side. So that was really what we set out to do, and I really wanted them to be broad enough to be achievable, but also specific enough to be meaningful. And that's sort of a hard line to walk. So I was really committed to having it be no more than 2 pages. And the process really was that I sort of have been gleaning from other great, great work out in the field, how other people are talking about prevention. And I just took the things that I have had as favorites and talked with a number of preventionists in Washington State and nationally and sort of just asked people, what do you think? What's helpful for you? What's worked for you? And sort of just continue to have conversations with experts. And then this is sort of just the lens that we've taken at the coalition of how we've put all of that stuff together. And then I also, the one thing that we did a number of years ago was this approach to prevention. When we first started thinking about it, were these what we used to call buckets. Now I'm trying to call them frames. But the 4 frames of prevention, which really helped me when, as being somewhat new to the work, you know, I come from an economic justice perspective and an advocacy perspective, and so prevention was a new element for me. And that really these 4 frames helped me to really identify what is it that we're trying to achieve and how do we actually get there? How do we get to healthy and safe relationships? And so these 4 frames were the approach that we also brought to sort of combine with all of the other expertise in the field.
And so those 4 frames are addressing root causes of violence, shifting culture, building skills, and promoting healthy relationships. So how did those come to be as really the 4 core frames that you have for this document and for your guidelines?
We had at our coalition what we call the prevention pod, which is a pod is a group of staff folks from all different disciplines. And we just started thinking, what do we think prevention is? What do we think needs to happen? And we were having huge, giant conversations that needed to be reined in. And so one of the most helpful things that we did was we brought in Kelly Starr, who's our communications person here at the coalition. And she listened to us and really helped us kind of glean what we were actually saying. And so she's the one that actually helped us to figure out these 4 frames and really put a name to the things that we were looking for.
I think it's so important to have communication folks who can do that or just anyone who can help synthesize those, because when we have key stakeholders, when we're really doing this as a group process, I think it helps to have that freedom to really just kind of throw everything out there and see those themes and what really arises. So I love the examples that you provide in the matrix. So on the 2nd page, you have a matrix, things that you can do across individual relationship, community and society levels. And you include activities that include social justice, movements like Black Lives Matter. You have working for affordable housing. And what we've found and what we've talked about on some other podcasts here on Prevent Connect is that some people might ask, like, what does this have to do with preventing domestic violence? And so I wanted to ask you that question. Obviously, I think it does have to do with preventing domestic violence. But, you know, from your perspective, how is this linked to preventing domestic violence?
This, for me, is one of the deepest values that I hold, is that our work really is interconnected. And so a real example for me of how this came about was, you know, I began my work at the Coalition as an economic justice project coordinator. And in that work, when the anti-poverty work, I really saw firsthand from survivors and talking with folks out in the community how much money played a role in domestic violence and how much, if we could figure out ways where people didn't have to share an apartment to make ends meet, that they actually wouldn't get deeper into a bad relationship or that they would be able to leave. Also, in terms of birth control, just seeing those impacts of folks that had a baby with somebody who, had they been able to get access to safe birth control, they maybe wouldn't have had that baby with them and they wouldn't be as attached in terms of the child support mess that happens and all of that. And so I just started thinking about those roles and how the interconnections of that, and if you could just kind of go a little bit farther upstream and figure out ways to sort of stop, even if the violence has already begun, but really stop it from getting worse. And so that's sort of the lens that I've brought to the prevention work and thinking about what would it take for communities to be able to make people less vulnerable to abuse. And that a big part of prevention, I think, often is that we think about how can we stop perpetration. But one of the things I also want to do is really prevent people from being vulnerable to abuse. So what if somebody tries to do something that's super controlling? What if you're just impervious to it? You know, what if they have all these bad behaviors, but it's sort of bouncing off, like they're more of like an annoying fly rather than somebody who can really derail your life? And so that was where I was starting to think about if we can do that work that often is that bigger picture social justice work that eliminates homophobia so that threatening to out somebody isn't actually a threat because they can actually live a really happy, healthy life and be out in their communities. But that actually is prevention and really makes people safer. A broad way of thinking about prevention that really challenges people to go into their communities and really work to end those larger oppressions that keep us all trapped.
Right, because we're really talking about root causes, which is one of your core areas. And, you know, I have to, I guess, let you know that I also really early on in my work as well, I was doing economic justice work in the context of domestic violence. And that's, you know, I'm so pleased to see that that's still something folks are thinking about. And, you know, for me, this is about also promoting gender equity and how are we going to do that when we have people who have disparate economic statuses and experiences. So I think that's definitely an important point. So, you know, these guidelines just came out, and what are your hopes for how they're going to be used?
Well, my hopes are that people actually give me feedback and say, you know, this part worked for me, this part didn't, because I think it will be a document that we continue to work on. Without state funding, we've had all this freedom to kind of do whatever we want. And so I feel like we're at this real great opportunity to really make these the most useful that they can be. And then I also just want people to try and implement and see, you know, are there things that really make sense for them to focus on. One of the things I think that we've learned from the field is that when people have excitement and energy around something, that's the thing that they should try. And so if people are really excited about the root causes piece, I hope that they are able to do that and that this provides guidance on how to do that. Similarly, if people are really into skill building and having classes and getting people to really figure out how they want to break up or how they want to stay together or how they want, you know, to have healthy conflict, I just love the idea of people diving into that and having this be one of those tools that helps them do that.
Right, and I think that it's unique when you're not tied to funding restrictions or funding guidelines that you do have the freedom to really do what you're excited about.
Yeah, and, you know, our hope is that there will be funding that happens soon, but it was sort of, it's a nice, I think, fit to have this come out before there is and have people sort of sit with it for a while, and then once that funding comes out, I think we'll have just more information about what is meaningful and doable for folks.
Great. So I've been talking to Eileen Stoll from the Washington State Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Eileen, if there are some folks out there who are looking at implementing, creating prevention guidelines in their state, and they're not really sure how to start or what to do, what are some suggestions that you have, having done this process?
Well, I think, you know, there is so much great thinking out there. So I think the best thing you can do is go check out what your friends and sisters and brothers have done at the other state coalitions. And then just really talk with people about what do they need. I mean, one of the things that I think for us since we've had this freedom is that we've been able to ask people that without this nervousness of the funder, you know, and what they desire and what they need. That it's really been about what does the field need and how do they want to take action. People get into this work because they have a passion for it. And so if people have a passion for it but it's squelched by the guidelines, that's no good, right? But if we can have guidelines that actually increase your passion or enable you to kind of let it flourish, that's, for me, the goal. And so I think if you can come at it with that spirit, that goes a long way and people will be able to tell and really make it work for them.
Wow, well, that's a great final note. I really encourage everybody to check out these guidelines to see, you know, how they could work for you or just some thoughts maybe if you're beginning the process. And if you want to learn more about the guidelines, we're posting them with this podcast. And Eileen, how can folks contact you?
Folks are welcome to email me at Eileen I'll say it for everybody, whiskative.org, but it's quite easier if you just click on the link. And I'm happy to chat with you about it. This process was really great and exciting for me, so I'm happy to help you embark on it as well.
Well, thank you so much. It's really exciting to see how things are changing across the nation, and I look forward to hearing more about the guidelines as people implement them and you get more feedback. So thank you so much, Eileen.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.